And we have a very special guest. What a month this has been, Missions March. I've so enjoyed it. And we've just had some great speakers and some great missions come in. And today is absolutely no exception. I'm very excited about it. So happy that they could be here with us today. As a matter of fact, let me introduce you first. It's Ben and Capulin Garola. Right? Did I do it right? Yes, if you would stand. And I'm telling you, they have some stories. And I'm eager to hear some of them today. Thank you so much for being here. They're actually based out of Kentucky, right? I bet it's beautiful there. I've heard Kentucky's beautiful. But we're going to have her come up in a little bit and speak with us about Beyond Uganda, one of the missions that we support. And then a little bit later in the service, we will pray for her and the ministry, and we'll pray, we'll take up a special tithes and or a special offering for them and Beyond Uganda, and also make room for our tithes and offerings as well for the church. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But we're going to begin with this video. Watch this video real quick, and then Capulin Garola will come up.
Children in Uganda often have an unfortunate story. In Uganda, because of missing parents, due to death, neglect of responsibilities, or lack of work, nearly 80% of households are headed by children. Uganda's average age is amongst the youngest on earth. Nearly 70% of the population is less than 24 years old. 67% of Ugandans live in material poverty, earning only a dollar or two a day, even when they are working, which only provides enough money to be able to eat. Rural children are not able to attend school because they have to work, care for siblings, or carry water vast distances so their families do not do without. Even when children are able to attend school, there is nearly a 70% national dropout rate during primary school years. In the fallout, 46% of young men and women are married before they are 18 years old, 12% even before they are 15, which leads to the second highest fertility rate in the entire world. 20% of adults end up living their lives illiterate. Most of them are women. They have an unfortunate story, but their story is being rewritten.
It's on. Good morning, church. I want to first thank Pastor Jeff. I don't know where he went, but thank you so much for the invitation. He's right. We come from Paducah, Kentucky. Normally about an 8.5 hour drive, 8.5 hour drive. We made it into a 12 or 14 hour drive somehow. And thank you to Lindsay and Judd for putting us up and hosting us, and Kendra and Eric for feeding us last night. I really appreciate it. And I wanted to start with a video because oftentimes I talk and people can't visualize where we are and what we do, but those are the faces and that is the land that we operate out of. So a little about me, I'm married to an amazing husband that's sitting here for 32 years. We have four children, grown children. We have two grandchildren and one on the way due in August, so we're excited about that. And I got to come here today and tell you about our unlikely story of becoming missionaries that we never planned on. So in 2011, I'm so excited to be here to worship with you guys because this is like my church. This feels like my church at home. And you just feel the Holy Spirit here. And talking with Pastor Jeff, he's much like my pastor. And I kind of blame my pastor for this whole ministry because he too told us we're all called to be missionaries and we just need to be obedient and just say yes to where God is working. So in 2011, our family had, we had sponsored children from an international, you know, big thing that you see on TV or hear on the radio. And we sponsored several children around the world, and several of them were in Uganda. And so our church had a mission trip, a 10-day mission trip, to go visit those children. And we thought, wow, that would be incredible for a family trip that we could save up for. And kind of wanted to see where our $30 a month went to, and if there was a kid, you know, at the end of that $30 a month. And so that was what we went for. So we went over to Uganda, and we were working in a little village called Nagangera in the eastern region. And we all split up to do our work, but I had one of my daughters, who was about 15 at the time, was working with me that day. And everywhere we went, we had a girl about the same age, and the only English she knew was, "I want school, I don't want boys." And she would follow us around, and we're thinking, well, good, leave the boys alone, go to school, like, what's the problem here? And as a family, we've traveled around the world, but we had never seen poverty like we saw in Uganda. My husband and I grew up in poverty here, you know, when we were younger, and what they deem poverty, but not like this. When we went to this village, they were living in things we wouldn't put our dogs in. Nobody had shoes. The children, the adults, nobody had shoes. I've never been in a country where nobody had shoes. So we finished working that day, and when we went for our team meeting that night, we were sitting around, and I brought that girl up, and I said to our in-country director, you know, this girl just followed us all day saying, "I want school, I don't want boys. You know, what's with that?" And he said, "You don't understand. In Uganda, school's not free like it is here. All school costs school fees. You have to have a uniform, and you have to have a pair of shoes to go to school. And at her age, she will never own a pair of shoes, which translates to she will never get an education. So her option was to be married off at 14 years old. That's what the culture is. You either go to school or you get married off because nobody can afford to feed more mouths." And my daughter, who usually is quite quiet, she just began to bawl. And she said, "Mom, I'm so guilty. I have 30 pairs of shoes at home to match my different outfits, and this girl wants one pair of shoes to go to school in. We have to do something beyond Uganda. We cannot unsee what we've seen and go home the same." And that's where the name Beyond Uganda came from. That was our calling, to do something beyond Uganda. And so we decided then that we were going to do something. We didn't know what that looked like. We just said yes to God. I mean, that was our call. So we came home from that trip, and my daughter went back to high school and told her story. And that first month back, she collected 271 pairs of shoes to send back to Uganda. And we thought, and you know, that's what we thought. We thought, we did a great thing. We collected these shoes. We got them back. We paid money to get them back to Uganda. Whew, you know, we did what the Lord asked us, and we're good now. We can get back to our life. Yeah, that didn't work out. Didn't work out like that. So as people were giving us more shoes, they started giving us clothing, and we were just sharing our experience and our story. But we started to look at things differently. We started seeing the excess we had in our refrigerator, and we didn't really need to take showers that long, and we just looked at things differently. And as people began to give us money to send those kids to school, we thought, oh, we need to do the right thing and do a 501c3 and become a nonprofit and be transparent and just do the right thing. So 2012, I went back to Uganda by myself to think, well, maybe I didn't hear God right. You know, maybe he just meant help somebody else out, because I'm a housewife raising four kids. He's a business owner. We're not trained missionaries. So we weren't quite sure what we were saying yes to, but 2012, it was very apparent that God wanted us to do more. So we didn't set out to do specifically a child program, because like I said, we were sponsors of children with a big international sponsor organizations that are doing a great job. But what we found were that many of those organizations, to have a high success rate, they enroll children between 5 and 10 years old. They take the best and the brightest, and they only partially assist with school tuition to families that are already existing. Well, the kids we were encountering were totally orphaned, mentally or physically handicapped, or they were so much older that they were literally selling themselves on the street to eat that night. Those are the kids that weren't eligible for any other program. Those were the ones that were sliding through the cracks. And God kept telling me, no one's forgotten. They're all my children. They all have potential. And so out of that was born our very first program called the Not Forgotten Program, which you saw many of their faces up there. But it started with two kids. We just thought if we could get these two kids off the streets and in school, then we've done a good thing. And so we often joke that we're kind of conned by God in this whole thing. But I think his conning is very cunning, because if he would have shown us this whole picture back in 2011, 2012, I don't think we could have handled it. But that scripture of I'm a lamp unto your feet, that's very intentional. He shows you one step at a time, because he will equip you for that step at that time. And you trust for that next step, and he will equip you for that step. So fast forward a little bit. Those two children, we now have full custody of 118 children that live in four project sites across the country of Uganda. And I don't know how we got there, because that is way beyond us, way beyond us. And I was sharing with somebody this morning that, you know, we started with a yes, but it was beyond what we could do personally. And I used to struggle with asking people for help, whether that's financial or any other resource-wise. But my husband said, you know, we're not asking for us. We're asking to partner with God where he's already working. So why are you robbing somebody else of that blessing to give to where God is working? And that may mean going to Uganda. That may mean crossing the street. We often joke that the best stamp in your passport might be crossing the street to talk to a neighbor. That's still a mission field. So as we got to know these kids that we thought we were saving because they were all orphaned, we found out that a lot of them weren't orphaned at all. They had single parents that were stuck in poverty and that didn't have an education themselves, that didn't have an opportunity. So we began to work with the moms. And so our whole philosophy is to educate, empower, and restore. Educating children, empowering the women in a culture that doesn't think very highly of women, and to restore families. That's how God made us, relational and family structure. And in that, to be intentional with whatever we do. If you're teaching sewing, how do you wrap that in Jesus? If we're playing games with the kids, how do you wrap that in Jesus? Because the ultimate goal is to restore everybody back to Christ. Because I think meeting those material needs that they have, we're giving them the hope of eternal grace. And that's what's going to change and break the cycle of poverty. So we got to, our philosophy is to go deeper and not give a hand out, but give a hand up. We're partnering with people to get out of their circumstances. And so in doing that, we begin to find out where these families are. And so the Ruth program, which I don't know if some of you saw the table out front, and there's cards on there that says Ruth program. That's what was born out of that, that we would have Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at our four centers in Uganda. We teach life skills. We teach financial training. We teach adult literacy. Wherever that woman is, we meet them where they are. And right now we're running about half and half. Half are Muslim and half are Christian. But that's often wrapped in like tribal beliefs and witchcraft. So they're not true Christians. But we start everything out with prayer, and we start it out with a Bible study. But we don't require them to believe anything. We ask them to come and get what they need, and we love them through it. And it's amazing to see how just loving somebody right where they're at would completely change them and turn them to Jesus without even saying it. They ask all the time, why do you love us like that? Well, underneath our logo and our sign, even in Uganda, is 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. It's that simple. We're loving you because we're loved. And let us tell you about who loves us. And building those relationships is what gives us the authority to start sharing that with them. So if Sam, I think it's Sam back there, if you'll show me David's picture, this is a perfect example. This is David in the red. And we found him on the street stealing food, causing a lot of problems. So we assumed he was living on the streets and he was orphaned. In that culture, they do consider themselves orphans if they don't have a father, because a father gives you a name, they support you going to school, they give you access to land and a future. So without a father, you have nothing in that culture. So they will call themselves orphans without a father. Well, we found out he had a mother, but the mother had no education, she had no skills, no training. So we began to work with her while he was at school so that we can equip her, because she's got other siblings at home. So if you're equipping a woman, you're not just saving a child, you're saving an entire family from poverty. So if you see, Sam, if you have another one with a bigger picture of their, so see that beautiful building behind them? That, somebody actually charges her rent for that. They actually charge her $80 a month for that thing that she cooks and sells stuff out of and they also live in. That horrified me, that somebody would even charge money for that. So we got to know the family and we brought her into our vocational program, which, there's another slide. She graduated April 2020 with her GED high school diploma. So she now, if you go outside and see some of those things, she makes baskets that are out there. Every one of those things has a story like this. We only buy from the women that have gone through the program so that we can be self-sustaining to them in country and out of country. And my, you guys, you should see. She will say this was the proudest moment because she wants her kids to see her in a cap and gown. She wants her kids to see her with a certificate in her hand because that means she's somebody. And she never got that opportunity through regular school. But now she's having things sold in Choctaw, Oklahoma. She's an international businesswoman. How big is your God that somebody in the slums of Kampala is an international businesswoman selling things in Choctaw, Oklahoma? That's what speaks to them. That's what shows them how big their God is. So that whole family is a different family, and now they're mentoring other people. So it's replicating. That's the power of it. So we have several programs for the moms and the children. And, you know, COVID kind of threw a curveball at all of us last year. But I had to share some numbers because God is still God. In and out of COVID, God knew what was coming and he's working in the midst of it. He is the way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's doing it. He's bringing light in the darkness in Uganda, in Choctaw, in Paducah, Kentucky. He's doing it. And when COVID hit in Uganda, these people work each day to get food that day. There's no refrigerator, there's no electricity, there's no savings account, there's nothing. So when it hit and markets shut down and businesses shut down, transportation shut down, schools shut down for an entire 5-6 months, people were just starving all of a sudden. And our philosophy of we'll give you a hand up but not a handout kind of went out the window. And we thought, what do we do now? We've never just given handouts. But we would walk through these villages, and we saw parents commit suicide because they could not feed their children. We saw grandmothers stepping up We walked through a village and saw a grandmother cooking on a small charcoal stove for her 8 grandchildren. And we asked, you know, do you need help? What are you cooking? She was cooking chicken feces and water into a soup so she had something warm to give them that night. We had to do something. We didn't have money to meet all of those needs. But we forget he's a way maker. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He holds the gold and the silver. And if you gave me 3 hours, I couldn't tell you the crazy stories through 2020 of, we had Amish people, y'all, giving us money to feed kids in Africa. I don't even know how that happens. We had Amish people giving us cash saying, feed these children for us, for our community. So during 2020, we got to put 2 clean water wells in. You'll see a video in a minute, but clean water is huge. I know we take that for granted, but these women and children walk 12 miles to just get dirty water, just to a water source. But we lose over 5,000 children under the age of 5 every year to waterborne illnesses that are totally preventable. If you go out on the table, I have one of the filters that we use. We partner with Filter of Hope, which is very cool because they're a faith-based organization as well. So we take these filters and we have, they're small, like in a Ziploc, so we can take them into remote places, put 10 in a backpack. We can give clean water that lasts 10 years to a family without changing that filter for $40. And the best part is every filter comes with the Bible in their language. So we're telling them about living water while they're getting clean water. And now they're not walking 12 miles where they can be assaulted on the way or hurt on the way. It's in their own home. So a well is $3,500, and $3,500 will change a community because you've got 1,000 people a day coming to get clean water. So we got to do 2 of those during COVID. 60 businesses were started from women like Miriam, Mama David. 60 businesses were started when people had no jobs. We had 118 children now, added one. We had 157 women go through that vocational school in 2020. We got to make 968 face coverings that we donated. The women that were going through the sewing program started making masks because the government there said that they would provide a mask for every Ugandan and every household would have a radio. We're still waiting for both of those. So we got to donate to all of our families, but also to the local government, to the police departments, and to the healthcare workers in Uganda. And what we didn't know was just something out of generosity would later help us because it was also a political season, and the president of Uganda didn't want his opponents, I guess, to go out and do a lot of good things and feed a lot of people. So there was a mandate and a curfew that we couldn't feed more than one person at a time, and we couldn't be out after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But because we gave these face coverings out, we got a special permit. So God gave us some grace there, and we were able to go out and give out 2,333 monthly meals. These are family meals that we would deliver to a family of approximately 7 people that would feed them for the entire month. Got to do 17,500 people a month for 5 months that are alive because of people like you that just said, here's $20, feed a family. Isn't that incredible? And the craziest part of all of this is we got in doors that we never could have got in before, because we're not welcome in a Muslim home, but we're welcome in a starving Muslim's home with a bag of food. And so after 5 months of meeting these people and having relationships, we had 245 people convert from Muslim to Christianity that are still active in our church because of meals. So as I leave you with this other video and wrap it up, that was our Beyond story. But we're, like Pastor said, we're all missionaries. whether that's talking to somebody in Walmart checkout line, if that's going across the street to your neighbor or the pew behind you, or going to Uganda, which I'm trying to get some people over here to. We're all called to something beyond ourselves. We were created to do something beyond ourselves. So I challenge you to have that talk. Talk with God, talk with your spouse, your family. What's your beyond? Make 2020 something that we got through, but 2021 is something that we're going to walk through with God and do something beyond ourselves. So I thank you so much for having me.
What a great ministry. If the ushers would, let's get ready to take up tithes and offerings. You can put tithes and offerings in the bucket. If you don't want to handle the bucket, we also have boxes at the entrances of the sanctuary that you can put your tithes and your offerings in. If you want to combine offerings to Beyond Uganda and or offering to them and tithes, you can put that on both one check and just make sure that you tag how much of it you want to each. And we are very thankful for that. One of my goals is in taking up an offering for our missionaries is not just their visit here with us, but I want to hopefully one of these missions will really spur you to begin to think about maybe a particular mission or missions in general that you want to begin to donate money to every week. The church, Bethel Church Choctaw, has committed to a certain amount of money for the five missions that we support every month. I'm hoping that we can grow that and we can get more missions or maybe support more young children at Beyond Uganda. We support, for example, a little boy named Amani Kimuri. Sam, did I put a picture of Amani Kimuri in that? I may not have, but I will. He's on a picture that runs before church, but I would like to support maybe some more kids in that area so we can do that. We can join with their clean water program, and so I want it to be not just a one-month thing that we do, but this is something that we do continuously. We have a heart for it, and we're just going to commit that we're going to give a certain amount to missions every month. And if that's you, then bravo, then we're getting somewhere, right? Amen? Because if we're not taking this ministry outside these four walls, we're doing something really wrong, right? So I so much appreciate your heart for missions and your giving to missions, and we're going to take up that offering for them right now. excuse me. Go ahead, if you would, and begin to take up your tithes and offerings. And again, we appreciate that so much. We're also going to have a prayer for Ben and Capulin and Beyond Uganda here in just a little bit. I'm going to ask Brother Keith Fife to lead us in that prayer. But we have a table out front that has all of the Beyond Uganda stuff on it. Really, really interesting stuff. And stop by, ask questions, get some brochures. If all the brochures are gone, we can get you some. You let me know and we'll do whatever we can to get you some. We also have a missions table out here. Has everybody seen the world map, the new world map that we have? All right. I'm so thankful for that. A young man from our church, Zane David, who moved to another city, but he owns a business called Goliath Graphics, and he did that. And so we're very, very proud of that. But that brings a focus to the very forefront of our mind about missions and about what God has called all churches to do, especially this church, to reach those missions. So we're very thankful for that. Let's pray for our tithes and offerings real quick. God, we thank you so much for all that you are doing through us from here, from across the street, all the way across the world to Uganda. And we're so thankful that We do know a way maker, and we can reach these people. We can reach these kids with the gospel of Jesus Christ, showing them the love of God and how awesome that is. And we thank you so much for missions like Beyond Uganda that actually puts the rubber to the road and gets over there and shares your love and your gospel with people that may not have ever heard it before. We thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. If I could ask Ben and Capulin to come up here in front, I'd like to ask Pastor Temple, my wife, and Pastor Keith to come up here. And the church is just going to gather and pray. If you feel led to pray with them and lay hands on them, I want you to join us up here as well. If we could all stand for this, please. Brother Keith, if you would, please lead us in a prayer. For them and beyond.
Father, we just thank you for people like Ben and Capulin, Lord, who have a heart to reach out and to other parts of the world, Lord, and do things that we, maybe I'm not called or others aren't called to do. But Lord, you've put it in their heart. You've put it in their spirit. And God, I can sense from them a very special anointing in their lives. Lord, and I just pray that you would just, everything that they put their hand to, Lord, you would cause it to prosper. Lord, everything that they feel your spirit is moving them to initiate, Lord, that it would go through without any hitches whatsoever, that it would be successful. God, we pray for the people that they're touching and the lives that they're touching, for this ministry Beyond Uganda. Lord, I ask that you would open up doors that they've never seen open before, and they would be miraculously opened. Lord, that you would make ways for them that they never thought there would be a way. And God, that more wells would be drilled, that people can have something as simple as clean water that we take so much for granted. Lord, that they would have shoes, clothing opportunities to go to school. Lord, that their lives would be changed because of the ministry of Beyond Uganda. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Also, besides just financial, one of the main things that we can do for our missionaries is what? Pray. Pray for our missions. If you can't remember them all, there's a sheet on our missions table that has a list of all of them. Get one of those and pray for our missions every single day. I know that they love it when the churches pray for them. So let's get together and do that as well. Also, if you're one of those that maybe you're needing a connection with God, maybe you are wanting to have a deeper relationship with God, maybe you never have before, I want to encourage you, don't wait another day before you do that. If you're watching online and you need Jesus in your life, I want you to please give me a call, Jeff Donaldson at 405-200-5712. Call me anytime. I'd love to talk with you about God. And to everybody else, I'll pray with you anytime. If you want to meet me, myself and my wife, Jill, up here, we will pray with you. But this week, take with you the ability to impact lives everywhere you go. You are dismissed.